Your radio station for North Georgia Gospel. I'm Mike Warford with you. Welcome once again to Community Focus, our public affairs program. This morning, a special guest joining us by phone is 9th District U.S. Congressman Andrew Clyde joining us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Mike. Great to be with you on WGTJ.
I appreciate it very much, sir. Good to hear from you. Congratulations on winning your primary without a runoff. And I understand you're in the district today.
That is correct. I am. Today is election day, and I'm encouraging everybody to get out and vote. This is the runoff for the primary, and so we need everybody out to make their voices heard so our government knows who the people want.
So this morning, the big questions are you endorsing anybody today?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I endorsed Burt Jones for governor. And I also endorsed Tim Fleming for Secretary of State. Those are the two endorsements that I made here. And in fact, I'm actually in Banks County right now. I'm here just outside the polling booth, and we're waving signs for Burt Jones.
I'm very good from that standpoint. Again, polls are open until 7 p.m. this evening. We have all the details for you on our website this evening with Ken Stanford on WGTJradio.com. And I have all the details for you tomorrow morning. We have some very important races that we can talk about. But for your standpoint, sir, what's the latest going on in Washington that you can share with us?
Well, I'll tell you that to give you a quick Washington update, we had a very, very packed week last week. I'm on the Appropriations Committee and the Budget Committees. And we finished two of the appropriations. You know, there are 12 appropriations that fund our government every year. So far, our committee, the Appropriations Committee, has completed 11 of the 12, and we are on track to complete all 12 before the end of June so that we can get them out of committee, all out of committee, and to the House floor. Actually, two of them have passed the House floor already, and so we're going to get those all to the House floor and then over to the Senate, and hopefully the Senate will do the same thing, and we'll be able to fund our government prior to the September 30th deadline. You know, if the Democrats would cooperate with us and would agree to to negotiate with us and actually vote to fund our government, then we wouldn't have the issues that we've been having earlier this year. But the Democrats have been fairly obstructionist. But we're going to move forward as Republicans and make sure our government is fully funded and America is secure.
Congressman, for our listeners who really don't understand the budget process, when you say fund the government, let everybody know really what that means, because we haven't really had a balanced budget since Bill Clinton. But what does really that mean, sir?
Well, what it means is, you know, the executive branch, the legislative branch and the judicial branch all require that the Congress pass a budget, all right, and appropriate to that budget. And so we on the Appropriations Committee, we're kind of the committee that writes the checks, if you will. And so we have to make sure that we write that check for each federal agency, you know, whether it's the Treasury Department themselves, whether it's the Department of Defense, Department of Transportation, you know, the Justice Department, the Interior Department, you name it, every branch of the federal government and all the sub branches within them have to, you know, have money appropriated by law. That's what the Constitution says. Article 1, Section 9 says that no money shall be appropriated except through or be spent, rather, except through appropriation by law. And so, therefore, we have to pass the law every year that appropriates money to fund the federal government. And, you know, we're trying to do it as conservatively as possible and make sure that we stay within our revenue. But that has not happened for many, many years. And so we have a deficit spending and we have a huge national debt, $39 trillion as of right now. And as a fiscal conservative, a staunch fiscal conservative, I've been working very diligently to reduce the spending of the federal government as much as we possibly can.
So from that standpoint, sir, working with the Senate has got to be one of the biggest things, but also there in the House, what kind of pushback are you receiving when it comes to cutting the budget?
Well, you know, Unfortunately, there are members who simply like to spend and spend and spend.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether they want to try and, quote, buy votes through their spending, or they just, you know, don't want to cut budgets. But we're primarily dealing right now with fraud, waste, and abuse, because we're seeing a lot of fraud in the federal government. I'm very thankful that President Trump has put J.D. Vance, the vice president, in charge of the fraud task force. And this is not like Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in as the borders are, okay? I mean, who did absolutely nothing, all right, and simply let in millions of illegals into our country. But J.D. Vance, under President Trump's direction, is cracking down on fraud, waste, and abuse, and they are finding massive amounts of fraud, especially in blue states when it comes to things like Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, and just, you know, fraud generally trying to take advantage of the federal government, of a lack of oversight at the federal government. And we're not going to allow them to continue that. And we are going to find that fraud, and we're going to prosecute that fraud. I think the Department of Justice is very, very tuned in to that, as we've seen. You know, what I like to say is I want to hear the click of handcuffs when it comes to finding fraud.
Our guest this morning on Community Focus is 9th District U.S. Congressman Andrew Clyde, joining us this morning by phone. We're glad to have him with us this morning. So what you just mentioned, Congressman, with Vice President Vance, is this sort of an extension of what Elon Musk started with the Doge last year?
This is absolutely an extension of Doge. Doge is still there. It's still an agency within the executive branch. They're still working hard. You know, they don't get they're not in the news like they were when Elon Musk was basically in charge of them. But the vice president is in charge of the fraud task force, and every cabinet secretary is participating in that. And we are going to find and eliminate the fraud, and we're going to reduce federal spending and increase federal prosecution because of that task force.
When you look at your campaign today for Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones to become our new governor, not only from that standpoint, but when we look at the Senate race with Derek Dooley and Mike Collins here locally, but also when it comes to the House representative races that you're seeing, is there still a chance that the Republicans might still keep control of the House and hopefully even the Senate come in November?
Well, I'll tell you, I believe we will still have control of the Senate. I believe we will still have control of the House, but in order to make sure that happens, our people, the base, the Republican conservative base, has to get out and vote. You know, they have to take this seriously, because what we can never allow to happen, we can't allow the House to go into Democrat hands, because if it does, we will not be protecting our president. You know, Donald, the Democrats proved last time when they were in charge under Nancy Pelosi, that they would impeach President Trump for anything and everything. And I think what will happen if the Democrats get in charge is that you will see impeachment after impeachment, and they will do it for anything, you know, anything they can possibly think of. In fact, probably, you know, they would probably impeach him on Iran. You know, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job on Iran, ending or about to end the 47-year war that Iran started way back, literally, in 1979. And it's taken the 47th president to end this 47-year war. And President Trump is going to do it. But if the Democrats get in charge, they're going to impeach him for everything and anything. And so we can't allow that to happen. We need to ensure that in order for the America First agenda to continue to move forward, we have got to ensure that we maintain the majority in the House, and that's very, very critical, and in the Senate as well. We need to keep this trifecta moving forward.
Congressman, how critical is it? You've been saying we're critical. How critical is it for us to end this quote-unquote war with Iran with this agreement that the president seems to have right now that he says by Friday we may have that, instead of just going in, and I'll go back to Arnold Schwarzkopf back in the day with the first – person go for, just go ahead and wipe them out and get this thing over with?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I spent three combat deployments in the Middle East as a Navy officer there, as a construction battalion officer. But And if it's one thing I've learned about the folks in the Middle East, about the Arabs, is that the only thing they respect is strength. And so for the president to have shown tremendous strength at the beginning was critically important. He brought them to the table. Now, whether they will hold up on this agreement or not is yet to be seen. If anyone can do it, President Donald J. Trump can do it. I mean, who would have thought that when it came to Hamas that we would actually get any Israeli hostages back alive, all right? And he was able to make that happen. And, you know, that was an amazing thing. But it's simply because they not just respected the president, they feared him. And that's the way it has to be. And so, you know, you've got to have a huge hammer in one hand and a carrot in the other. And that's what the president, that's the way he's been moving. I pray that they keep to their word, that the Iranians do, and they keep to this deal, because they can never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. That's the whole point of this. If they do, they would use it. We know they would use it. They'd use it on us. They'd use it on Israel. They'd use it on other republics in the world. And they're the number one sponsor of terrorism, Iran is, and they have to be stopped. They can never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, and that's what the president has committed to. And he is a man of action.
Yeah, I know you're a strong believer and supporter of our military. So there being appropriations, are you going to be able to increase the budget to help out the different branches and also maybe even with the Navy to start building more ships that we can add to that manpower?
Well, I'll tell you this. The Democrats are certainly not going to help us in that. We're working on what's called budget reconciliation number 3. And that is one of the beautiful things about having the trifecta, the executive branch, the Senate, and the House, is that we have a powerful tool that bypasses the Senate filibuster, the 60-vote threshold, and it's called budget reconciliation. So budget reconciliation number 3 will deal with military spending. We will have to restock from what we have been spending. With the ordnance that we've been using on Iran, that's going to have to be replenished. And so we're going to have to do it through budget reconciliation. But I believe that we will get it done, and it will be done this year.
When you say beauty in that standpoint, Congressman, tell everybody about the status of the Big Beautiful Bill and how that's going to affect us.
Oh, the Big Beautiful Bill was probably the most consequential legislative win in my lifetime, if not the lifetime of Congress, where we literally cut $1.6 trillion of federal spending out of the budget, all right, over the 10-year budget cycle. And then the extension of the tax cuts in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from President Trump's first term, if we had not approved that, we would have seen, for 2025, we would have seen a 23% tax hike. And as a result, we didn't see that. The president came through and Congress came through on the president's promise of no tax on tips and no tax on overtime and the additional deduction for senior citizens so that like 88% of them would have no tax on Social Security. These are some huge wins. In addition, we had the tax break on American-made cars. If you have a car loan, the tax break on the interest. And then you have the child tax credit, which is made permanent and actually increased by 10% and tied to inflation, so it maintains its value every year. I mean, this is an amazing bill that has done incredible things. And then, of course, probably my favorite part of it was eliminating the tax on the National Firearms Act, firearms to not just protect and defend our Second Amendment, but to restore some of the rights that we lost in 1934, almost 100 years ago. With the taxing of a constitutional right, which should never be allowed to happen.
All right, with that, sir, are we going to see in our lifetime, you think, even the idea of eliminating the income tax and going to a flat tax or a sales tax on top of that?
Well, I think the best route is a fair tax, which would basically be a consumption tax.
Right.
That would eliminate the tax return. I think that would probably lower the stress level of American citizens.
Absolutely.
By the greatest of anything possible.
Preach it.
Would be to get the IRS out of our lives, our daily lives, and that would be to eliminate the tax return. A flat tax would not do that, but a
fair tax
would. So I'm in, you know, I'm a original co-sponsor of the Fair Tax Act in Congress. And so, a matter of fact, we're going to be pushing for the fair tax. Will we see it? I sure hope so. I'm going to work hard to make sure that it is addressed. But whether we have it or not, you know, I'm one of 218 that is required to pass anything on the House floor. So it takes a lot of work to get 218 folks together to agree on one thing. And so
we could have those as co-signers.
But that's the goal, and we're gonna do our best.
You know, it'd be good to have those as co-signers, those 218 on your side to do that. You know,
that's right.
It was sure was. We're talking to Congressman Andrew Clyde this morning. So you won your race without a runoff. So you will have a Democratic opposition coming up in November. So when you start on the campaign trail for that racer?
Well, you're correct. We won with 76% of the vote, which was a very humbling win. Very, very thankful to the folks of the 9th District. We got outspent about 3-1 by our opponents, but we prevailed. It's the honor of my life to represent the folks of the 9th District in the United States Congress. You know, we believe in fighting and winning, and that's the whole point right here. Yes, I will have a Democrat opponent, I believe a radical leftist community organizer, I guess, from what I understand. I have not met her yet, but coming out of Gwinnett, you know, there's a significant portion of the 9th District that is in Gwinnett County now, about 39%, I guess, of the district. So, but looking forward to a good win there as well. I think we are the most conservative district in the entire state of Georgia. I think last time with this map that we had, we got about 69% of the vote. I'm trying to work hard to get that up a little over 70%, I think. We'll see what happens, but just very, very grateful and humbled by the folks of the 9th District and their continued support.
You mentioned the map, sir. What have you heard from the different representatives and state senators about their special session coming up this week, starting tomorrow, about redrawing the maps?
You're exactly correct. You know, when the Supreme Court came out and said that you cannot draw a map with race in mind, you know, that's unconstitutional. And I agree with them 100%. You know, if you go back and look at the birth certificate of our nation, the founding document that created the United States of America, which is the Declaration of Independence, you know, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. All right. Equal. That's what it says. And that's what we believe. That's what this nation was founded upon. It's a very biblical principle. So when they go into session tomorrow, you know, what they're going to draw is going to be definitely up to the Georgia legislature. We as federal representatives, we don't have a vote on that. And we really don't have input on it either. So it's up to the state representatives. But I think that if we take race out of the equation, then what we'll find is more representation within the state of Georgia. Now, I don't know if they're going to – right now we're about a 9-5, 9 Republicans and 5 Democrats. I don't know if they're going to redraw this map to make it a 10-4 or 11-3. I'm not sure. I think that's probably as aggressive as they would get, but I believe that we could probably pick up at least one Republican seat if race is not considered a part of the equation.
Do you see that happening by November, sir?
Can you say that again?
Do you see that happening by November, that you may have to, you know, be campaigning in a different area of Georgia?
Well, no, because when they redraw the map, the map is not going to be for this election.
Okay.
It's actually going to be for the 2028 election.
Gotcha.
So the map that we have right now is going to hold firm for the November election.
Okay. Well, I heard that question being asked by some of the representatives. They just did not know, because right now I've been told by some representatives they don't even have a map yet. They're going to go into the meeting tomorrow cold and having to go 3 hard days of trying to draw a map for that, as you say, the 28th election then from that standpoint. And to wrap things up this morning with Community Focus, our public affairs program, and our special guest, U.S. Congressman Andrew Clyde. So I've got to ask you this question here locally. Can you give me an update for our listeners here about the proposed ICE detention center that we're looking at having in Oakwood?
In Oakwood? Well, I actually had a conversation. This is a number of weeks back with Mark Wayne Mullen, the new Homeland Security Secretary. And as far as I understand, they're still moving forward with it. I am in favor of it. We need to ensure that every person that is in the United States is here legally. All right. We need to follow the law. We need to respect the law. We need to uphold the law. And therefore, this detention center, I think, would be an integral part of ensuring that those folks who are not here legally would be removed, especially starting with the violent criminal illegal alien population. And we have seen the disastrous effects of that population and what they have done to our country, especially within the Ninth District. I mean, you see the tragic murder of Lake and Riley. They're in Athens, which is just below the Ninth District, and then Mimi Rodriguez Ramirez. We can never forget about her, murdered in Habersham County, all right, by an illegal alien from Mexico. And then you have the little 12-year-old girl Maria that was kidnapped in Hall County in Gainesville, all right, and it took a month and a half to find her, but she was kidnapped by an illegal alien from Guatemala. So I mean, that's violent crime that we have been exposed to that we should never have had happen simply because the Biden administration allowed these illegal aliens to invade our country, and that is so wrong. So this facility in Oakwood, I think, is going to be a very important part of that, and it has my full support. And I told the secretary that as well on my phone call with him.
I can tell you, Congressman, as a lifelong resident of this community, I'm all for the ICE Detention Center. I'm not in favor of that particular location. You, with appropriations, we're spending, in my mind, way too much money for that property and for the renovation of that property to have that detention center at location. I'd like to see us maybe have a different location for it.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, as I've said to many, many folks, this is not their first rodeo. Okay. ICE didn't just go, okay, well, we'll just pick this location and, you know, for whatever reason. I believe that when they picked that location, I know for a fact that they did their engineering, all right, to see how much it would cost and the location, you know, was it a prime location for them? And I think that when this is all said and done, people will find out that it will be a huge positive impact to the community, all right? And both the removing of the illegal aliens and the actual federal investment into that community itself, it will not be a negative on the community. I think it will be a very significant positive for the community.
Good enough, Congressman. It's been a pleasure talking with you, sir. You got my number now. You can always call us anytime and say, hey, Mike, I want to talk to the people in our listening area about what's going on in the 9th District. In the last minute of the program, sir, but talking to our listeners and tell me anything else you want to talk to them about.
I do. You know, this is election day for the runoff. It is critically important that people get out and vote. I'm here at Banks County right now at the polling place, and I'm watching folks just come in. It's a fairly consistent stream of folks coming in. Really glad to see that. But that needs to be happening in all of our counties of the 9th District, well, across the entire state, because it is so critically important that people exercise their right to vote and make their voices heard so that the folks that we have elected in this state have the support of the people, you know, the majority of the people, not just a few percentage of the people. But so I encourage everyone that hears my voice, make it a priority. If you have not voted yet, please go out and vote today. And I'm supporting Burt Jones for governor. Have endorsed Burt Jones, and I've also endorsed Tim Fleming for Secretary of State. That's another critically important position within our state for election integrity.
It sure is, sir. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, sir?
Thank you, Mike. Great to be with you.
Thank you so much. 9th District
U.S. Congressman Andrew Clyde joining us this morning on Community Focus, our public affairs program. Today is Election Day. Polls open until 7 p.m. We got much more for you here on your family radio station, 97.5 Glory FM.